Hey everybody, welcome back to the Nidus Anarchy series. I'm your host and CIO of Nidus, Adam Callen, and today we're going to do some fun stuff. We're going to talk about hacking, specifically hacking RFID cards, and I'm going to show you how to do it. So last week when I was at Identiverse, I talked to that company and it came up on the podcast, talked a little bit about it, about this company where they said, hey, we've developed this really cool new authentication mechanism where we can use your hotel key card or your badge or any other type of an RFID card, and using FIDO, that becomes your authenticator and now you're logged in with it. And I was like, that's great, but those cards can be copied very easily. And they immediately said, no, you can't. So that's when I knew I wasn't talking to the right person. So today, what I want to show you is, I'm going to show you how to copy those cards. So I have a couple different readers and some other fun stuff. So we're going to show how to copy the cards, how to protect yourself, and really just so you can be aware. Now, I'm not trying to make everyone wear tinfoil hats, but I'm telling you that I have recently ordered a hat from this company called Get Lambs. You should check it out. Again, no affiliation, just cool stuff. They make a beanie hat that actually has a Faraday cage built into it to help keep radio waves out from your head. It's literally a tinfoil hat, just in a beanie form, and I'm pretty stoked about it. I'll show you about it once I get it. So why am I freaked out about, like, really it's EMF and radio signals in general. Am I afraid that my brain is going to be melted? Well, a little bit, because I have a massively high-powered Wi-Fi right there, surrounded by cell phones and a bunch of other stuff. Just in general, lots of radio waves into the brain, not a good idea, right? So for me, it's just a matter of, if I'm going to wear a hat, why not wear one that also reflects all the radio signals away from my head? So what is doing that? Well, it's doing it with a Faraday cage. So I'm going to demo out a few different Faraday cages that I have. I'm also going to show how they work and why I use them to prevent myself from getting hacked and prevent my credit cards from being cloned and all that kind of fun stuff. And I'm going to show you how to do this kind of thing. I'm not going to show you how to actually steal it, but I'm going to show you up to the point to where if you had enough, you know, ingenuity and free time, you could figure it out from that point, because I'm not really sure what the rules are in showing people how to do things that could be possibly illegal. For those of you that are listening to this and aren't seeing the full video side, it's going to be very difficult to see a lot of the fun stuff. So I really encourage you to come to the YouTube or on LinkedIn, and you'll be able to see the video vision of this and see all the cool stuff that we're doing. So let's get into it, right? So first, I'm going to show you my big Faraday cage. It's actually just a bag. I picked this up from a company called Silent at DEF CON last year. I don't know if you can see, it's like a black on black DEF CON logo. This whole thing is a Faraday cage. So what is a Faraday cage? One, I recommend you go to Google and just search there, because it's going to be a way better response than I'm going to tell you. But the gist of it is this. It's a fabric with metal fibers woven in through it that will allows the isolation of anything inside of it from receiving any type of radio frequency in or out. So it stops radio frequencies from coming out. So right now, anything that's in here can't transmit, and radio waves cannot get into it. So why is this important? Well, let's go into it. So let's see what I got in here. This is the Black Hat Santa bag. Also, I'd like to point out that on June 6th, it was International Slayer Day, so my microphone stand is supported by all of my Slayer records. So first off, we have the iCopy X. This thing can copy pretty much any RFID card that's out there. Badges, you want to get into anything? This is a fun tool. Now, the more fun one that everyone's probably heard about, the Flipper Zero. This thing is a lot of fun. It can do all kinds of crazy stuff. But a big misconception is people think, oh, I can just buy this and start hacking. It's not really that. It's like basically buying a laptop. You can hack anything with a laptop. So it comes with all these really cool sensors and radios and all this kind of fun stuff to do hacking stuff. But it doesn't actually come pre-programmed to actually start, you know, hijacking airplanes and stuff. What else we got? We got, passports. What are we going to do with that? And here's some more Silent pockets. These are Faraday cages for your phones. A wallet. That's actually my wallet. Here's some more Faraday cages. We'll show those out. What's this? Some badges. This is an old badge to an actual legit company. And we have Ian's keys. So we're going to clone his car. Now, to show you kind of what's in a Faraday cage, you'll see pretty much the same thing. Obviously, if you're in the listening part, it's going to be hard to see, but there's this gold mesh. Now, what this is this fabric has copper wiring. I don't know if you can kind of see. It's kind of like a grid material in there. So that copper wiring is what prevents the radio signals from getting in or out of this bag. Now this one's kind of cumbersome, so we're just gonna put this one down, and we're gonna play with the little stuff to show you how this stuff kind of works. So these are a bunch of different ones. Let's play with the cool ones. This is like the low end. I picked this one up on Amazon. I think it was like $12, if that. Super thin, small, lightweight, nothing fancy about it at all, but it works. So we'll use this one to demo out, and then we'll go into the fun stuff from here. So first, how do we know that this thing is working? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to upload a video on my phone here. Let's see, next. Maybe. There we go. And we're going to pull this thing out. So this is a RF meter. So it measures the amount of RF that's going on in the sky. So let's see what we got. Right now we're at 17.2. Actually, let's move my phone far away for a second. There we go. So you can see with my phone's not around it, we're at one? We're one or under pretty much. So obviously we got the little green light. Green light means we're safe. Now let's bring the phone back. And now we're going to just upload a video, right? Just put that there. Now check that out. 160 over the limit. I can't even read that high. So you can see this thing is just grinding away. So now what we're going to do, I'm going to leave this kind of inside there. Oh, it's kind of hard to read. You read that? There we go. So now we're going to take this and we're just going to throw it in here. Boop. And now look. Done. Nothing. So now this phone is unable to transmit a signal out in any way, shape, or form. So whether your phone is on or off, because as you know, just because you turn, you power your phone off, it's actually not all the way off. It's still transmitting and receiving from the cell phone towers. So we'll get into why that can be scary later. But right now it's not doing anything. And what I'm going to do is, if I open this back up, you'll see it comes back with the full signal. And then it's going to come back to life again. Actually, it's not uploading anything because it gave up because it lost internet. So now it's much safer. All that because of the fabric. That's all it is. We're just wrapping this in a fabric that prevents the radio signal from going in or out of this bag. So that's from the phone. So I just wanted to show you how this kind of works. So from there, I think you get the picture that one, you can see the amount of radiation that this thing was putting off from the radio signal into my head if I was actually uploading a video while on a phone call is massive. So overall, cell phones really aren't bad from a radio signal perspective, right? They're not really emitting a ton of radio frequencies that's bad for you. It's just that when they're uploading data from the radio, specifically to the cell towers, not really as much as Wi-Fi, but those are just emanating so much radio frequency because there's a ton of data that's pushing out. And if you have that next to your head, that's when things get a little sketchy, where I'd be a little bit more concerned. So that's why I'm a big fan of Bluetooth headsets and keeping this thing as far away from my head as much as possible, because I'm on the phone all day long. Now, these things are great because they protect you from being tracked. So like I was saying, your phone is constantly transmitting your location, your GPS signal, to the three different towers, no matter where you are in the world, all the time. Even when you turn it off, your phone is still traceable, just so you know. So if you're like, oh, I turned it off. Nope, still trackable. And here's what's actually happening. So the government, and when I say the government, I'm not saying like some big voodoo 1984 thing. I mean, literally, the government has the ability to get your location data from your cell phone provider whenever they feel fit. There was actually a huge case about this. There's a whole documentary on Netflix, too, the Murdaugh trials, where that old dude killed his son and girlfriend or whatever. The reason he got convicted was because they tracked his cell phone. Because his cell phone transmits to the towers, you know, regularly, they were able to pinpoint his exact location within like a couple feet down to the second as he moved. They were able to see how fast he was driving down each road. They were able to see how long he stayed at each place. So they were able to pinpoint his location within exact certainty. On top of that, they were able to tell the two victims where they were and when their cell phones were turned off after they moved. So there's basically, the guy got convicted of murder because his cell phone gave him away as what he was doing. It also, there's a really good government program out there that's correlating all that data and linking it up with other people. So if you go and hang out with somebody and they realize that those two phones are in the same location together a lot, well, now you're paired together. So now they know, oh, this is actually a relationship, and that gets formed. And they have a whole crazy system that's keeping track of all of this. I mean, it's insane. So if you're trying to do something to where you don't want to be tracked, or you're just, you know, that type of person where you're like, look, I just want to be left alone. I like living in Montana and being free and out in the wilderness. Well, you need to put your phone in a Faraday cage, because everyone's afraid of being microchipped by the government. You already are. This thing is the microchip. It's giving away everything about you all the time, about who you know, where you live, what you do, your patterns, everything. So if you're paranoid, throw that bad boy into a Faraday cage. So what can we do now? Let's get to some fun stuff. Let's do key fobs. So your key fob is for your car, right? This is what you do to unlock and lock your car. Well, there's a bunch of hacks going around right now where people are stealing cars using a key fob that's still in your house. So what are they doing? How are they doing this? So what they're doing is they're running up to like your front door, and they're taking a giant antenna and unleashing it on the front door. And then what's happening is that antenna is finding the signal of your key fob and relaying it to a device that the other attacker has at the car. So even though your key fob is not anywhere near your car, because a lot of you have modern cars, right? You walk up to the car just unlocks because it notices that your keys are nearby. So what they're doing is, a lot of people, what do? You get in the house, you open the door, you throw your keys on the counter, whatever, your little bowl thing next to the door, and walk away. So a lot of people keep their keys right by the front door. So this antenna finds that signal, amplifies that signal to the attacker with the device at the car, and then says, hey, I'm now in the car. So they're able to unlock the car and then start the car, even though your keys are inside. And that is where this little bag by Silent comes into play. So this little Faraday cage, you just pop this open, drop your keys in there, and now no one can steal your car. This, you can walk right up to your car with this thing. It's not going to have a clue that the key is in your pocket or even anywhere near you. So you come home, you throw your keys into here. You don't have to worry about people stealing your car. Also, simple way, don't keep your keys near the front door. That's one thing to do. Keep them far away from there. You don't have to worry about it. So let's show you how we can read the signal from this thing. Let's pull out the flipper. This is where the flipper zero kind of comes into fun. Pop this out. I heard it. I have it on. There we go. So we are going to do the sub-gigahertz reading, and I'm just going to show you how this little bad boy can read the data that's coming out of here. So we're going to, let's just do read raw and hit record. Let's see how it's going. So now what I'm going to show is I'm just going to hit the unlock button, and you're going to see that this thing is going to read the signal. Boop. Unlock and lock and unlock and lock. Now I can read the signal. So what does that mean? Well, from here, what I'll do is I will save that signal, and I'm going to save it, and then I'm going to go back to the car, and I'm going to hold this up, and I'm going to replay it. Now, am I going to get into the car? This one, probably not, because most of these guys have a little bit more security than just replaying a constant code. Otherwise, people would be stealing cars all the time. A lot of them have rolling codes, security features, and built in, but there are a few cars out there that have already been, let's just say, compromised with their signals where the keys have been cracked. So now you can download the little app onto here, read specific car key fobs, and you can clone it and then open and start a car with this thing. So I recommend don't keep your keys near the front door and or keep them in some type of Faraday cage up front, because yes, someone can absolutely clone your key fob and steal your car. So that's how you steal a car with a flipper zero. Now let's get to the part where I told before, where I was saying like, hey, we can copy RFID cards really easily, right? So, well, let's do with this one first. So back with the flipper zero, since we already have it open, here is a badge, right? And this is actually for, this is one of my old companies here. I apparently still have it. And what we're gonna do, let's go back to RFID reader, and I'm just gonna flip it this way. There we go. So read, boop. Let's see your reading. Move, don't move card, there we go. That's it. So now I have the card saved, and if I want, I can emulate it, or I can write it, meaning I can find another card and then write it to an RFID card. So if I hit emulate, so right now, this thing is broadcasting this particular card. So if I walked up to the front door of this building and put this on there, as long as I still had access, I could open that door. That's it. That's how easy this one is. And I'll show you another one here. So this Mammer Jammer, this is the iCopy X. This thing is a little bit more intense when it comes to RFID reading stuff, right? So here we go. Pop this open. Now this one's fun. So here, see this? I'll bring this up into the camera a little bit. It's hard to tell. See, it says auto copy. So I'm going to take this same card and I'm going to auto copy. Oops. There we go. Scanning in progress. Reading in progress. Let's try reread. Scanning in progress. Reading in progress. Read successful. There we go. Saved. Now it's saying I can reread or write. So what do I want to do? Well, now this is where this thing comes in cool. It comes with this little sticker. So what we can do is take a bunch of these different cards, key fobs, all kinds of stuff we got in here. I'm not sure which one's which, but let's just try it out and see what happens. But this one. And let's write it. Done. So now, whenever I want, I can walk using this exact same key fob that I use to get into a building. I've just duplicated it. Now I can take this and walk right up to that building, boop, and I'm in. That's it. So RFID tags are not secure generally. There are ones with, again, more higher security. This thing can get around a lot of those security things, though. So I wouldn't really trust an RFID tag to be your primary authentication device. And honestly, even to get into buildings and security, it doesn't take long. It does not take long to copy this. I mean, it took me a second because I didn't have it up to the right spot. But, man, these things are super, super easy to clone. So if you're sitting there and you have a badge, pretty much any badge, any building, in and out. Not a problem at all. Next, what else can we copy? Well, just to give you an idea, let's move this stuff out of the way. Woo. Okay, passports. Can we clone passports? Yep, absolutely. If your passport has this little chip logo down here in the bottom, this means there's an RFID chip in your passport. The new ones have that big thick card in it. I'm not sure how those ones work, so I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the ones before that, which they first came out with this little chip on there. This was demonstrated that passports can be copied. When was that? That was DEF CON 2025, maybe 2026. They actually did a live demo and duplicated someone's passport from the audience right in front of everybody. And that was a long time ago. So imagine how easy it is to do now. So yes, your passport has an RFID chip right in there and can be cloned. So if you're worried about people stealing your identity and stealing your passport, guess what? You need to get yourself one of these. And then when you put it in here, boop, now nobody can stay in your passport. So if you're walking around, you're traveling somewhere, I highly recommend that you keep your passport in a Faraday cage of some kind, because all someone has to do is be next to your passport for a couple seconds and they've cloned it, just like I've shown you. All I have to do is take this device and hold it up next to your passport and I can clone it. Not a good thing, right? So yes, Faraday cages are real and you should be wearing an aluminum hat. Now let me show you these Faraday cages, because these ones are actually my favorites. I have these little ones here, like I was saying. I got this on Amazon for like 12 bucks. Super flimsy, but it does the job. Super thin, lightweight. These things are great. These ones by Silent are way more robust. So if you're, you know, a little bit more concerned, I recommend these. And what's cool, if you look inside, they actually have, see these, I don't even see these ribbed layers in here. So it works like kind of like a Ziploc bag. So these ribs kind of go together to really seal inside, to really ensure that there's no radio signal being transmitted in or out of here. So these things are awesome. Lastly, credit cards. I'm obviously not going to pull the credit card out on camera, but any credit card that has this chip where you use tap to pay, those can be cloned. These are way harder and you need some serious attacking stuff to be able to clone a credit card. Realistically, it's a lot more difficult, but it is absolutely not difficult to charge your credit card just by tapping someone's pocket. So how many people have something like this where you got your wallet with a credit card sitting in your pocket, right? So you've seen those little square readers when you go up to pay something at some, you know, some bodega, or you're going to buy something, they get a little square reader and they're like, oh, pay for the thing. So you take your credit card out, you tap it, put it back in your wallet. Hey, you just spent 10 bucks on the thing. All somebody has to do is have their phone and the little square reader, and they say, hey, I'm going to charge $100 for some good. And then they go, okay, I'm ready to receive your credit card. And they put the little square thing in their pocket, walk up to you, bump up next to you. And all they do is just go to some crazy place like an amusement park, a train station, anywhere that's crowded, and just walk around and bump into people's pockets until, boop, paid. Because there's no verification. It's, as long as it makes contact, and it can obviously read through your clothes, you're going to be charged. So your credit card could be cloned, your credit card could be charged, all kinds of fun things. So get a wallet to where this way, this chip, what I'll do, I'm not going to take it out in the air because I'm going to show myself, but generally I will keep the chip on the inside because there's a Faraday cage on the inside of this wallet. So therefore, they can't be scanned. No one can bump into me. No one can take my stuff. Faraday cages are amazing. Yes, you should be concerned that people are going to steal your stuff. And yes, you should be concerned about what level of tracking is happening out there. So I really recommend you guys look into this a little bit more. I hope this was a little bit more eye-opening as to what's actually possible out there. It's super easy to clone things that are using RFID and radio technologies. So please be safe and please understand it's not that hard. Anyone can get their hands on this stuff and you could be next. So please look into Faraday cages, lock up your keys, keep them away from the front door, get a wallet with a Faraday cage built right into it, so therefore you don't have to worry about people giving you charges, stealing your credit cards. Keep your passport locked up in a Faraday cage so no one clones your passport, which is also possible, right? And any badges and things like this, please don't use these for authentication. I wouldn't even use them to get in the front door. I wouldn't use an RFID tag to get into anything important whatsoever. And I'll leave you with this. My favorite hack that I've ever seen was also at the same DEF CON, actually, where they demoed the passport cloning. I think it was the same guy, because he was talking about cloning RFID tech. He took an antenna loop, just a bunch of coil, and a little laptop, and threw it in a bush next to the Pentagon, to the entrance of one of the entrances at the Pentagon. Left it there for like a day or two. And basically, people were going up and badging in. Boop! And he was just recording all of these badges going into the building. Then, when one of them that he got, that he knew was still valid, he took it, and then he wrote that code onto a little ampule, a glass ampule. If you have a cat or dog, have you ever chipped your pet where they put the little ampule in them? Well, this guy took that and cloned the badge into the little chip. He put it in the kitten, the vet put it in there because he chipped his vet, but except he changed the tag in his cat. He walked up to the Pentagon. This was all on video. He walked up to the Pentagon front door, held the kitten up to the door, and the door opened. So please don't use RFID technology to protect anything important. It's easily clonable, easily scared. And this is what scares the shit out of me, which is why I have lots of these things and I recommend that you get them too. Hopefully this woke you up a little bit. If you have any questions or you're concerned, you want to jump on the call and you want to ask me some questions, I'd love to talk about this stuff. Obviously, I'm a big fan and fanatic. If you want to talk about some other fun hacking stuff, I'd love to hear it. I'm going to be at DEF CON later on in August. So if you want to come out for that, let's see what kind of cool stuff and crazy shit we can get into. Otherwise, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, TikTok, Spotify, Audible, Apple Podcasts. I mean, we're on so many different things. You can catch us everywhere. I hope you enjoy this. I will see you around next time. Later. Bye.